Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women educators group in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents A History of Champion Township and Its Schools. As far as the eye could see, there were dense forested trees of beech, hickory, oak, maple, elm, whitewood, walnut, and ash. Timberland as fine as any that could be seen in Trumbull County. This was the first view of Champion Township as seen by the early pioneers and settlers. A land that was low and level, except for the northwestern portion, which was slightly rolling. The soil was mostly clay, except for the eastern and southeastern part of the township, where it was more sandy. Northward, the township contained numerous swamps drained by a number of small streams or swales called Young's Run and Chocolate Run, natural waterways that remain even today. This land, in the early 1800s, was a desolate region with its dense, unbroken woodlands and deep swamps. It remained almost uninhabited except for wild animals, birds, and the red men, as they were called by the early settlers. The red men had been attracted to the area because of the abundance of game, turkey, deer, wolves, and bear. They lived in the southern part of the township in a little village of 8 or 10 huts and remained even after the settlers arrived. They were on friendly terms with their white neighbors and frequently visited their homes to grind their tomahawks and to beg food, tobacco, and firewater. A great deal was learned by the early settlers as to the hunting ways of the Indians. Many a fine buck fell victim to the unerring aim of the cunning red man who had concealed his body in a deep hole made near a spring or deer lick. This was Champion, one of the largest townships to be settled in Trumbull County, known as Township 5, Range 4, located north of Warren, east of Southington, west of Bezetta, and south of Bristol. Champion Township was purchased by Henry Champion, an original member of the Connecticut Land Company, in 1798. He was the sole owner, except for a few families who settled in the southern half of the township on land purchased for $2.50 an acre. Henry Champion, being a money-minded businessman, held the land for nearly 20 years, hoping for higher prices, $10 an acre, a price that most settlers could not afford. Thus, Champion was slow in developing. Rapid development did not begin until Henry's death nearly 25 years later. The first settler was a man named Nichols, of which little is known. The first permanent settler was William Rutan in the year of 1806. He and his wife Hannah came from Belvernon, Pennsylvania. They had two children, Catherine and Henry. Mr. Rutan's log cabin was the first residence built in the township, built on the architectural plan of what was called cut and try. In 1806 or 1807, William Woodrow of Westmoreland County in Pennsylvania bought land, made a clearing, and built a cabin where the Champion Presbyterian Church now stands. In 1808, he moved his family to Champion. Mrs. Woodrow rode a horse and carried her son, John, then about 2.5 years old, in her arms. The horse was loaded with saddlebags in which were a few household articles. Mr. Woodrow went on foot and drove two cows. Upon his back, he carried a knapsack, and in it, his son Smith, who then was about 6 months old. The Woodrow cabin was similar to the early dwellings in most of this area. It was a log house about 15 by 25 feet on the ground and 12 feet from the ground to the eaves. A floor above one below was made of split oak timber. The chimney was built of straw, split sticks, and mortar. And even though much care was taken to have as much mortar on the inside as possible, the chimney often caught fire. The early settlers often cooked by fireplace. Most had no lamps by which to light their dark rooms, and for some only a saucer of lard and a rag for a wick provided some dim light. Early life in Champion was both difficult and rewarding, and many tales of those times have been handed down by the early settlers. Indians lived close to the settlers and were camped between the Rutan cabin and the city of Warren. Although they were held in awe by the settlers, they were friendly. Sometimes, though, they stole chickens and teas for supplies. Because of the presence of Indians, the Rutan family and the Woodrow family were watchful of each other. If one man had to leave the vicinity, his wife took the children and stayed with the other family. On one such night, Mr. Woodrow's family was staying at the Rutan's home. And since Mr. Woodrow enjoyed some lively fun, he returned home soon and crept upon the Rutan house like an Indian. He burst open the door and grabbed Mr. Rutan. Of course, the women and children were horrified. Such was the wild humor of the frontier. Wildlife was abundant and often came in sight of the houses in the daytime. The family could get a supply of fresh meat in just a few hours. Wolves and bears were destructive and had to be closely guarded against. Sheep were never safe when a wolf was near. The bears seemed to be especially fond of pork. Many tales have been told of bears coming close up to the cabins and attacking hogs and the sties. The first family to settle in the northeastern part of Champion, about 1829, was the James Walker family. Mr. Walker was often away from home, and Mrs. Walker stayed at the cabin, taking care of the children and the animals. The cabin had no doors, only curtains. Wolves and other animals could easily enter the first floor. It was therefore necessary for Mrs. Walker to take the children up into the second floor loft and drag the ladder up after them. There they would spend the night. One night there was a great disturbance about the enclosure where a cow and a calf were kept. The next morning, Mrs. Walker found a bear had been trying to breakfast upon one or both of her animals. She could see the prints of his feet. She started on the bear's tracks and saw that it had entered a hollow tree. Returning to the house, she secured fire and kindling and made a fire at the foot of the hollow tree and burned both the tree and the bear. From just four families in the early 1800s, Champion started to grow rapidly about 1820s to 1830s. The early family names to appear during this time included Lane, Donaldson, Croninger, Chambers, Pierce, Falk, Ross, Durst, Thompson, Cook, Meixel, Hull, Packard, Weiss, Smith, Walker, Harper, McCombs, Osborne, Bursler, Anderson, McMurray, Fowler, and Hartman. William Rutan built the first frame house and William Woodrow the first brick house. It was this first brick house which still stands today on Champion Street East. The township was organized in 1831 into an election district and named Champion in honor of Henry Champion, its former owner. The men elected each other to offices such as trustee, clerk, and justice of the peace. Almost every eligible voter in the township got an office, and some even held two offices. Roads, churches, and schools were among the first concerns of the early settlers. The first road was built through Champion, called the Old State Road, used as a military road during the War of 1812. It followed the general direction of the present state road. Early community life in Champion centered around its churches. The oldest church in Champion was the Presbyterian Church, organized about 1838 and built in 1842. It is still in use today and stands on Mahoning Avenue. The Methodist Church was organized about 1848 and services were originally held on State Road. Later, services were moved to Champion Center. About 1857, the United Brethren held services in a house located on the Champion and Bizetta line. The Champion Disciples, or Christian Church, was organized in the early 1890s. The first schoolhouse was a log one which stood south of the William Woodrow home. The first term was taught by Catherine Church in May of 1815. The school soon had to be closed because there were too few families to support it, and classes were then held in a shop building on the William Woodrow property. In 1829 or 1830, a brick schoolhouse was built opposite the Presbyterian Church. For some years, all of the scholars of Champion attended the school. A frame school later stood on this site. Other district schools sprang up throughout the township. Mrs. Rutan, Mrs. Sheldon, and Sally Wilson Harper were teachers in the early days of Champion. Lena Kyle taught in District School No. 4 in 1836. She received $18 and her room and board for 5 months teaching. She had 17 scholars. By 1874, Champion had 7 one-room schools. August 26, 1889 was the first recorded Board of Education meeting. It showed that Champion was educating 217 students, 14 to 47 per school, and employed 14 teachers. Salaries ranged from $31 for men to $20 for women. The curriculum taught included the following subjects: orthography, reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, English grammar, language, history, map drawing, and physiology. Texts included McGuffey's Revised Eclectic Readers and Ray's New Series Arithmetic. The first mention of a superintendent was Samuel Wallers in the Board of Minutes on February 18, 1894. In 1894, the Champion Board of Education voted to grade the schools. By 1899, 9 district schools were used in the township's educational system. Old District School No. 3, built in 1891, was known as the Schaefer Road School. It was located on the west side of Schaefer Road, south of Airport Road, and housed grades 1 through 8. The land for the school was purchased from Charles Chinook, one of the prominent families in the area. Myrtle Stroop was the last teacher. One of her pupils was Lowell Schaefer, who vividly recalls his early school days. The one-room school had central heating. Warmth came from a pot-bellied stove in the center of the room. On bitter cold days, the teacher and the pupils, about 30 in number, would crowd as closely to the wood-burning stove as possible. Schaefer can remember going on foot to school with other boys who would walk part of the way on top of a fence to get to the school because of flooding. Well, no one worried about illness in those days, and the young people often were healthier than they are today. He and his school chums would take turns, as the teacher dictated, to carry water in a pail from a farm about a half mile distant from the school. Mostly it was the boys who went after the water, but sometimes they'd take a girl along for company. When the pupils got the water back, everyone would have a drink out of the same tin cup. Sometimes a thick coat of dust was floating in the water, but no one worried about such things because they didn't know or care about the bugs the way people do today. He recalls that they had fun at school and sure learned. He admits that his memories are probably more treasured than those of others. He married the teacher. This script by Mary.